Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. We are in April. So, mask off, in my pocket. Let's just take a moment. Maybe let's just open your palms up. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you just for this moment that we have found here at C3 Fremantle. We thank you, Lord God, for the accidents that did not happen. We thank you, Lord God, for your protection. And Lord, we thank you for your love, that each and every one of us is special in your sight. And Lord, we just take this time, this moment, to reflect on your goodness and all the things that you have done for us. That Lord, you heal us, you forgive us of all our sins, and you heal us of all our dis-ease. Everything that causes us not to be at peace, Lord God, you heal us from our disease. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm pretty chuffed today. The reason being is the beginning of a new series that is called As We're Heading Down to Easter. We've got Easter in 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And it's aliens versus citizens. And so our focus for the year is evangelism and discipleship. And as the world gears towards Easter, there is another opportunity for people to reflect on their lives. And the key question we want to be able to ask and to answer is that, why is it a Good Friday? And why do we celebrate Easter Sunday? And I like the passage from this morning from the one that Steve Coppin read, where he says, I have been looking forward to this meal. And the question is that why? Why was he looking forward to this meal? Because it was the meal that ushered in a new dispensation. And so Easter is a time that we reflect and we look upon all the things, the amazing thing that God did for us, and that the Lord Jesus Christ made a decision to come from glory, to come to earth, so that we can be in relationship with God. And so Easter time is a very special time. And so last week, we had our faith promises, and I want to thank you, just as the screen said, 48,000, that's a big deal. And so we want to thank you for those faith promises. And if we can just play the little video that we have before we rock and roll. Other forms of life somewhere else. And as you've seen through that screen, that little play, there are many movies that speak of other life forms from other planets. And it's all imagined in our heads. And how crazy is it that people have got such deep imaginations? You see, on most occasions when when these aliens come to Earth, they're doing it to get something so they can sustain their species. And one of my best movies of other life forms has to be Transformers. And their interactions with humans is amazing, and just how the whole, I think we've watched it in our home over 30 times, over and over and over. And I still get the same rush that I had when I first watched it in probably 2007 or 8. And it's usually the baddies versus the goodies. I remember for the first time Transformers came out, the very first Transformers 1, I took Mandla. I thought, oh, this would be good to take Mandla. And so he was probably 7 years old. So, of course, parental guidance advised. And so because he was with me, it was okay to go in with him. And so it starts, and it's a bit scary. The voice, you know, was really scary for a seven-year-old. And about maybe 10 minutes into the film, maybe less than that, he says, I'm scared. And I said, no, just hold on, you know? And so he kept expressing how scared he was. This movie's scary. And so after about 15 minutes, we eventually left, much to my disgust, you know? And so I had the opportunity to go and watch it by myself. But the pursuit of a better life, whether it's for these aliens that you see in movies, and when we bring it back to human beings, the pursuit of a better life for ourselves and for our families has people moving from one country to the other because they are pursuing things that they didn't have in their country. And so I recall trying to pursue education. I couldn't qualify in the universities in Zimbabwe. There was the entrance to get into those universities was just only the cream could get into university in Zimbabwe at that time. And so I was just fortunate that my father could take me overseas. And so I went to Malaysia, different culture. And I recall being in the plane and we were landing in Singapore. And then they usually give you the cards, you know, the immigration cards. So I was going to land in Singapore and then fly on to Kuala Lumpur. And it says that, drug trafficking is capital punishment in Singapore. And not that I was carrying drugs on me, but I just started shivering and shaking. Because Singapore has a rule that if you import or you partake of drugs, your punishment is death. And so we landed in Singapore, it was in the airport, and then we flew to Kuala Lumpur. And one of the gentlemen that was working with my father, he was a Malaysian guy, he says, the weather in Malaysia is hot. And so I'm in the airport, and it's nice and cool in the airport. And then I wonder, what was that guy talking about? This place is nice and cool. And then the moment the doors opened and then the humidity hit me, I was like, wow, welcome to a different world. And so when I was in Malaysia, I felt very different. I always had to carry my passport because I had to identify myself because I was different to everybody else. And arriving at hostel where I was staying at Sunway College, we went to the cafeteria for lunch. And so they were serving rice and chicken. So I said, okay, I'll grab a few things. It was a buffet kind of thing. And so I was having my, put the rice in. And so you get to the till, and that's when they give you your cutlery. And so the lady hands me a fork and a spoon. And I was so offended. How dare this lady give me a fork and a spoon? Because I had learned, growing up in Zimbabwe, we used a fork and a knife. And so here I am in a different culture, fork and a spoon for eating your rice. But eventually I found out over time that it was actually better to use a fork and a spoon than it was to use a knife and a fork when you're eating your rice. So that was the indoctrination to a new way of doing things. And on the bus, I would get on the bus to go from where the college was to go into KL. And even though there would be a spare seat next to me, nobody would sit. And I found that quite strange. I was thinking, what's wrong with these people? You know, like maybe there's something wrong with me. And then after a while, you really start to notice that there is something different about you, that this is not the place that I belong. And so coming to Australia as a student, there were certain things I could not have access to. As a student, if you come as a foreign student, you have to pay double the fees that Australian students pay, which is very sad. Same education, but you pay twice as much. And also that I couldn't have access to free hospital, just couldn't walk, roll up into a hospital and there's bulk billing. You had to pay. As a foreigner, you don't have access to certain things that a normal citizen would have access to. And so a foreigner is somebody who was born in, belonging to, or is characteristic of some place or country. And also it's somebody that is strange and unfamiliar. And that is what, as a foreigner, you are like an alien. You come into this country, a different set of rules, different people. And so you do feel that you stand out a lot. And so the biggest issue that one can have as an alien is around their identity. You don't know where you fit in or where you stand as you're interacting and mingling with your peers, because you would walk into a lecture theater and you'd be one of one African dude and hordes, lots of white people. And of course, other races would be there as well. And you begin to isolate yourself and you don't really integrate. And the sad thing is that you really start to miss home because you feel like, I don't belong here. And isn't it funny how you can go anywhere in the world and be a different person, and then across the room, you see another African person? Guess where you're going? You're going to them because you see this, ooh, somebody who looks like me, they may understand the way that I roll, the way that I think. And better yet, if it's a Zimbabwean, oh, my goodness, it makes for interesting conversation. Is it possible to feel like an alien with God? And as a church, how do we treat people when they come? What is our language, our hospitality? Because people are coming into a foreign space that is different to what they know. So the language that we use on stage, thou saith the Lord, you know, all that kind of stuff, immediately people will start to think, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And then we start saying, oh, I felt something, you know, the Holy Spirit is washing over me. Now, all those things, of course, they're in bounds in Christendom. But it's about breaking it down, because when people come in, they don't understand. So the good thing about when you come in as a foreigner, there's interpreters that you can get. If you're not really good at English, you can get an interpreter. And so this is the one thing that it's quite easy that when people come into our presence and the people that we relate to, they can feel very strange. And God speaks about aliens in the Bible. He says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 to 34, about how we should treat people that are different to us. He says, do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And then in Psalm 119, verse 19, it says, I am only an alien in the land. Don't hide your commands from me. And so being an alien is something that's not a good thing, because you feel quite differently. And because we have a mandate as a church and as a body of believers that we're supposed to be impacting people that perhaps are different to us, we need to be very mindful about the way that we interact with them. Citizenship has its advantages. Citizenship brings privileges and responsibilities. It gives you access to the police. So even as I come in as a, when I came in as a student, I had access to the police. I could call, not 911, I could call 000. And if I called 000, the police would come and say, "Can we help you, sir?" And then I say, "Well, somebody's doing something to me." So I have access to that. I have access, well, that's really the only thing I got access to. I don't have access to hospital services, free hospital services. I have access to them. Every international student that comes to Australia always has to have private health insurance. And so that's the only way I can access health services. And also the one key thing that I don't have, that I have as a citizen and that I don't have as an alien, is the ability to vote, which is the ability on shaping the country on how it's going to move forward. You know, Tiffany Nicole says the reason why citizenship is important is because the country in which you have citizenship is one of the most significant things about you. The reason is because citizenship plays a major role in forming your identity. Everything from your culture, your worldview, to your value system are all shaped based on the country in which you are a citizen. It's interesting that there is a, each country has got its personality. Each country has a personality. In Australia, we the personality is that we never die fighting. There is just that thing where people will always persevere regardless of the opposition that's coming against them. And what we don't realize is that as we keep watching that, as we keep hearing it on our TV screens, it becomes ingrained in our DNA that no matter what the obstacles that are faced before us, we are going to persevere and we're going to push through. And that is seen through even the sporting teams when things are against them. Even if they're playing with bigger or even stronger nations, there is a fight that they have within them. And that's a thing that you get. The Zimbabwean, you know, citizenship gives you confidence. You know, there's just something about being in a country and you, wherever you go, you can tell a Zimbabwean. You can tell that, oh, they are well-dressed. Because, not that that's just our DNA thing only, but presentation is such an important thing for us, but also the ability to get things done and always being entrepreneurial. You find that in other African countries, in Nigeria and Ghana, they've got that within them as well, that they've got this, they're always hustling, always trying to do things to grow their resources. And so citizenship is important because this is the biggest privilege that an individual is given. And so it's the most valuable asset of a nation, and it is not easily given, or is it easy to obtain citizenship from another country. That's why you gotta go through a test nowadays. Luckily, when I got my Australian citizenship, I got in before they had to do the test. So that was nice and easy. I made sure that when they announced that in a few years' time there's got to be a test you have to do, I said, I better get in right quick. And so I did. If you have any doubt of the power of citizenship, read how it affected the Ambassador Paul, who had dual citizenship. And this is what happens. It says, and they listened to him until this word, and when they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, and this is the people shouting against Paul, for he is not fit to live, and so they wanted to kill him. So then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. Then the commander said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. And the commander answered, with a large sum of money, I obtained this citizenship. So he paid. The Roman soldier had done that. But then Paul said, I was born a citizen. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman citizen and because he had bound him. So there are privileges that come up as a citizen. You're not just going to be hauled before the courts and then just thrown into jail. There is a process. There are protections that are put in place. So citizenship, being a citizen, is a really good thing. All governments are supposed to defend the right of citizenship with the same fervor because of its implications. When things were starting to go left in Afghanistan, what did Australia do? It sent a few planes over to pick up its citizens. Now, in as much as I would think that the Zimbabwean government would do that, they will not do that. Because governments are supposed to defend the right of citizenship, that our people are not going to be treated this way. You find that in this country, if you're somewhere stranded, guess what they'll do? They'll come get you. Because they value Australian citizenship. And in this scripture we have in Philippians, it says, dear brothers and sisters, this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. Pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite, and they brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. And so the quest for a better country will continue to dominate the minds of people as they seek to satisfy their physical needs. But because of the fallen nature of the world we're living in, there is no such place here on earth. We will always keep desiring something, and it's been ingrained in us for a longing. There's a longing that we have on the inside of us for another place that is not earth. And so when will this quest for a better life end? And so in this epistle to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul revealed a better citizenship that we should all long for. And so what you have to understand is that in the book of Philippians, the Philippians were citizens of Rome, even if they did not live in Rome, the colony that is far away from the motherland. But in that colony, these people were citizens, just like England and Australia back in the day. It's not the same now, but back in the day, you probably were considered a citizen of the UK if you were born in Australia. And so he's masterfully using the history of the city of Philippi to get his point across. It was a Roman colony, and Paul readers lived in a city that was a Roman military colony directly related to the capital city of Rome. And because they're Roman subjects, the Philippian Christians owed their allegiance to the far-off capital city of Rome. And so he's using this historical situation, and he's saying to them, you know what it means to live as a colony of Rome, don't you? It means that even though you're hundreds of miles away, you still live by the rules and the laws of your capital city. You live for the welfare and advancement of Rome. Just like us here in Australia, we live for the, if you're a citizen of Australia, of course, you live for the advancement of Australia. And one of the ways you do that is that every fortnight that you get paid, or however often you get paid, you pay some taxes. So that is showing you that you're living for the advancement of this country. And so you know what it feels like. We all know what it feels like, that we're living here on earth, but there is another place that we're citizens of. You see, we have a new pledge of allegiance. So we're not just, everything that we're doing is just for what we are doing here on earth. It's, we are now under the mandates and the laws of our new capital, which is the heavenly city. And so we are now to live as we are moving towards Easter. And as our focus this year has been on discipleship and evangelism, we are now to live for the advancement and welfare of our heavenly kingdom. We are now to live for the glory of and honor of heaven and of our new King Jesus Christ. So our new pledge of allegiance is to live as good citizens of heaven. The key thing you see is that if you don't have this citizenship, that's not a good thing, because you're going to miss out and you're missing out. And we got this citizenship of heaven when we, by faith, believed in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But we must let this citizenship be something that governs, that rules, and controls us. And I like this quote from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I quote, "In other words, we are to realize as Christian people that the honor of the homeland is in our hands, so that when we ask the questions, what am I to do as a Christian? How am I to live as a Christian? We do not want to be given a list of rules and regulations. The name of God, the name of Christ, the very reputation of heaven, as it were, is in our hands. It's in your hand and it's in my hand. Therefore, we must live as citizens that are always mindful of that fact. We have a dual citizenship. Our citizenship is not just of earth, but it is also of heaven. And that is how we're supposed to live our lives. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 to 7, it says, we obtain our heavenly citizenship through our new birth experience. And we're entitled to all the privileges of citizenship, both on earth and eternally. In this present life, we enjoy love, peace, joy, mercy, and so much more. We have access to our King. We can approach him at any time. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That is the way that we're supposed to live. We are living for the glory of God in all that we do, in how we function as a people, in that when we've got people that I embrace, that come into our services, that are new people, we go out of our way to make them feel welcome. Our language is different. And so all of a sudden, serving in church is no longer a burden, but we do it with so much joy. And in saying that, can everybody look at the back? Dave Langlands. Dave, could you wave for everybody? That's Dave over there, everybody. And Dave is in charge of all our AV, make the sound, together with Ryan at the back, but Dave is the lead. And so, as you now know that all these messages that we're speaking are now being put online on YouTube, so that those that come to the service at least can go online and watch. However, Dave is looking for some helpers. If you want to learn how to use a video, how to video people, or you're interested in playing with this, doing all this kind of stuff, please go and see Dave. This is one way that we serve. And so you can imagine that us living as a colony of heaven, if the worship team can come back up, as we live as a colony of heaven, imagine if we lived our lives like citizens of heaven, kindness and compassion would flow, equality with other aliens, so we're not going to be looking down upon other people. Whether they're saved or not, we treat each other with love and with respect in C3 Fremantle and Wellard. Serving would not be a chore, would not be a burden, but it's something that we do. Generosity would become normal. And so our fruit will be seen on earth, but it will be stored up in heaven. As a colony, we are different. There is a different swagger about you and I. There's something different about us, the way that we roll. There should be this new confidence. Our identity is not necessarily our country's identity. We have a new identity, and that identity is in Jesus Christ. And so all of a sudden, we begin to carry ourselves differently. We see ourselves differently. We see ourselves as people of worth, people of value, because God placed value on us. And as a colony, as we bring this to a close, how we live our lives is really summed up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. And that is how we're supposed to live our lives. As we move to this Easter, Easter's coming up in 2 weeks' time on a Friday. We have our Easter, Good Friday. We're going to have Pastor Charlie unpack for us why it is a Good Friday. One of the key things I would ask for each of us is to, if we can begin to start prayerfully thinking and begin to ask, who can I invite to that 9 a.m. Easter service? Who can I invite? Because you see, we were once aliens, separated from God, and Jesus Christ chose to come and live as an alien on earth. But he went back home and he's prepared a home for us. And we are to do the same for other people. If we could all stand. And I would ask this Easter, as we journey towards that, begin to ask the Lord, Lord, who is it amongst my world that you're drawing closer to yourself? And who is it amongst my world that I can invite to this Easter service on Good Friday? It'll be Friday. I don't know what the exact date is, but it's on a Friday. The 15th, thank you. Friday the 15th at 9 a.m. And we're asking that, and because we are these citizens of heaven, we want other people to come in. And it's not going to be about weirdness and say, look, if you don't come on Easter Friday, on Good Friday, lightning is going to strike you down. We're not that kind of people. But we do it in love, because our language is a language that is inviting. It's a language that is warm. And even it's time to start believing for our family members that are not saved. And I would ask that over these next 2 weeks, that is something that we all do, and we all get to invite somebody so that they can experience the life that we've experienced. Steve, can you pass my Bible? Thanks. As I close, I love this prayer from Mary Loudermilk. Very, seems Dutch, but it's a interesting name, Loudermilk. And it says, thank you, Lord, and I pray this, for all the benefits you've given me. My loyalty belongs to you, and I want to represent you well in all I do. Help me to prove, help me to never forget, my responsibility to bring others to you. And when I do, I will truly be your ambassador. And I promise you, I close on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And so, it says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation, that is you and I. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that we are your ambassadors here on earth. Lord God, that we are living here on earth, Father, but we long for heaven. We long to be with Christ. And even as Paul prayed that if I live, it's good, but if I die, it's good as well, because I go to be with the Lord. But he said, I would rather live. And the reason he said that is so that there's an opportunity. He would be presented with opportunities to bring people into this citizenship of heaven. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this message of reconciliation. And Lord, we pray, Father, that the people that you are drawing close to us, that Lord, as we ask people, as we open our mouths, as we send a text message, as we send an email, as we make a phone call, that those people that you are drawing, Father, would come and they would experience what it's like, the love, peace, joy of being citizens, the privilege of knowing you and of being counted as your own. Father, I thank you for your people this morning, that as we leave this place, our identity is in you, that no longer should we, Father, begin to vacillate and not know what our identity is. But we are assured, Father, that you love us because you sent your Son to die for us, and that you have forgiven us, and that, Lord, we would walk in your forgiveness. Bless your people, I pray, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, and let's close on a song. Amen.